It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, spelled MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. I love hearing from you. Important show planned today. There's a lot going on here in the state of Colorado, and so we're going to go through some stuff that you really need to know about. Before we get into that, though, we always look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You should be able to persuade them in the battle of ideas. It takes a lot more work to be able to have to get your brain around these issues and persuade people instead of using force. We're seeing a whole lot of force down here being proposed under the Golden Dome at the Colorado State Capitol. And that is one of the reasons why we do this show, is because we really believe in this vision, these principles of America, of everyday people getting to pursue their life, their liberty, or have their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And those are the principles that we really need to protect. And so we go at each of these proposals of legislation. It could be a city ordinance. We look at these as freedom versus force. And it's a slippery slope. Once you start to give away your freedoms, it's a very slippery slope, and it's very difficult to get them back. So that is why we do the show, looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We'll be going through some of the headlines, some of the legislation down at the State House in the first two segments, and very excited in the third and fourth segment. Derek Wilburn, a friend of mine who is the founder of Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, as well as he has created an intern program for young ethnic groups to go back to Washington, get paid internships, and learn about the whole American idea, and great work that Derek Wilburn is doing. So we will talk with him in the third and fourth segment. Welcome to you, each of my listeners. You're each your treasure, you're valued, you have a purpose. Go out today and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to our great team, to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I really appreciate all the hard work that you guys do. So, top of the morning to you, producer Steve.
Yeah, you almost caught me in mid-yawn. Sorry. it's not you. It's the time of day.
Okay. You know, Steve, as we're looking at this legislation down at the State House, it really is a socialization, a moving towards socializing these key things that make our life better, like transportation and education, energy, housing, water, broadband, communications, healthcare. And once government gets in control of that, they really don't do very many things very well. Maybe we'll talk about the RTD in news article here in just a moment. But once they get a hold of that, typically the supply becomes limited, the price goes up, and the quality goes down. And so that is why we need to fight back on all of this government takeover of these key things that make our life better. Because if they control these things, they control us.
It's interesting you say that, because every couple of weeks we do a live broadcast from
one of the other hosts, right?
Well, yeah, it's special edition of Rush to Reason, but. We do it from an insurance brokerage out in Wheat Ridge. And that conversation yesterday immediately took off on this track. And the owner of that establishment, he said, you know, okay, government gets involved, the costs go up, the service level drops off. And I think, okay, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. And somebody's making money off of it. And typically it's money and power that the PBIs, the politicians, the bureaucrats, and the interested parties, They are the ones, the elites, that think that they can make the decisions for everybody else. But yet that is how they're not creating anything. It's taking via force, by public policy, taking everyday hardworking people's, their money and their rights. And that's why we really need to keep a look on what's going on out there, Steve.
We've discussed it before. Once a politician, any politician on either side of the aisle, if you want to use that word picture, once they get elected and seated, they have to be seen as doing something, and that's usually where the trouble starts. And another popular daily radio commentator he's been on this kick about. They're postulating solutions to problems that don't really exist. But if they bang the drum loud enough, people go, oh, well, that's
somebody. And when you say somebody should do something, oh, boy, that somebody should be us. Speaking of somebody doing something, Derek Wilburn, founder of Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, will be on segments 3 and 4. So as we look at our inspiration for the day, I went to Booker T. Washington. I remember as a kid, did you ever remember that you had, I think, Scholastic books, and you could order books from, you got this little newspaper, and typically I could always order just one book. And I got a book on Booker T. Washington. So are you laughing? Do you remember that?
I do, but the problem with that, my remembering is, and you're bringing it up, is that we're dating ourselves.
That's true. That's back when we had books. Okay, Booker T. Washington lived from 1856 to 1915. He was born into slavery, and he rose to become a leading black intellectual of the 19th century. He founded the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute, it's now Tuskegee University, and the National Negro Business League 2 decades later. He was an American educator, author, orator, and advisor to Presidents Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft. He is remembered as the most influential black speaker of his time. And I love this. He says, nothing ever comes to one that is worth having except as a result of hard work.
Well, I just a tip of the hat to Derek. I meet him every summer at the Western Conservative Summit. Because we usually end up broadcasting live from down there. So I meet him, and he'll do a segment with whoever's on the air at the time. But the cool thing is he always has two or three of his kids in tow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell. They're like sponges. They're absorbing this climate, this environment. And a lot of times, maybe it's their first time in such a venue.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's making an impact.
So I'm excited to talk with him about that, because we need to be talking about making positive difference in what's happening out there and stand for liberty, that responsible exercise of freedom. Speaking of freedom, certainly there's a lot of freedom in our country. We have a lot of people running on the Democrat side of the ticket for president. And it is kind of amazing that Bernie Sanders came in almost number one in Iowa. There are those that think maybe he did. Maybe there was some funny stuff going on. Who knows? And then he won New Hampshire this week. So this is our quote. It says, Bernie Sanders says his campaign is trying to appeal now to senior citizens. The problem is every time Bernie says feel the burn, the seniors think that he's talking about acid reflux and hemorrhoids.
Ha! And another little reminder, it was in where I go for entertainment, I guess. A meme in Facebook reminding you of what Bernie's initials are.
I hadn't thought of that. There's a lot of that going around, too. So let's jump in here. Yesterday, the vaccination bill, if you want to call it that, it's not quite forced vaccination or mandated vaccination. What it is really more coercion. And when we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom, there's a lot of code words for force. It could be mandate. It could be regulation. But there's another word, and that's coercion. And this particular bill has a lot of coercion in it. It's Senate Bill 2163. It says, concerning the modernization of school entry immunization process. It says, the bill codifies a definition of non-medical exemption to mean an immunization exemption based upon a religious belief whose teachings are opposed to... That's one of those words I have trouble with, immunizations or personal belief that is opposed to those. Under current law, each student must submit to a school a certificate of medical exemption or a statement of non-medical exemption for an immunization for a religious or personal belief. The bill requires the Department of Public Health and Environment to develop standardized forms and a submission process for persons who want to claim a non-medical exemption for an immunization for a religious or personal belief. A person who wants to claim a non-medical exemption for an immunization for religious or personal belief can do so by doing this. They can provide the school with a certificate of completion of an online education module. So in essence, this would be kind of a re-education process or a certificate of non-medical exemption. The bill requires the department to annually evaluate the state's immunization practices, including an examination of best practices and guidelines recommended by the advisory committee. Okay, this is not an elected group. This is going to be probably somebody that is appointed on these immunization practices. The State Board of Health may update the state's practices pursuant to the annual evaluation. The bill creates a vaccine-protected children's standard, whereby the immunization rate goal for every school is 95% of the student population to be vaccinated. The bill requires the department to amend an immunization document if it currently publishes annually to include information about the vaccine-protected children's standard. Every school shall publish its immunization rate and exemption rate on the document and annually distribute it to the parents, legal guardians, and students of the school. The bill requires, as applicable, a practitioner who is a licensed physician, a physician assistant, advanced practice nurse, or person authorized pursuant to Title 12 to administer immunizations within their scope of practice to students and to submit immunization, medical, or non-medical exemption data to the immunization tracking system. The practitioner is not subject to a regulatory sanction for noncompliance. It says Colorado Dems weighed into this vaccination debate with a bill aimed at these child vax rates to opt your children out. I'm not sure yet. I haven't had a chance. I have it printed. It dropped yesterday. It was a very busy day, and I didn't get the whole thing read. But my understanding is this really puts children into a tracking system if they don't have, quote unquote, the required immunizations. And Steve, I'm trying to bite this off and explain that this is not a pro-vax or an anti-vax question that is out there, although that has been over the years, that is what this is being set up as. And then what happens if people say, wait a minute, I have some questions. I'm not sure that I really want to have this injected into my child's body. You can be assured that we're going to have coerced vaccinations for adults coming down the pike as well. So what has happened is these people that are pushing this force, and it's going to be a database. And there was another bill that was, and I saw it just in passing, that there's, it's called these FERPA rules, which is regarding data collection on our children. And there was also a bill that was put forth here within the last few weeks that says that for a period of time, that the FERPA rules would not apply, and in essence, that data could be shared. So data is the new oil. Data on our kids. Data would say, and again, publishing that, you know, trying to divide people between vaxxers and non-vaxxers. Let's look at this a little more. I think what let's do, let's go to break. Because this is a complicated issue, stay with me on it because I'm still working to get my brains around on it as well. But there's something that's very dangerous about this coerced vaccinations. And so we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, the Avalanche and the Nuggets, they're in the hunt for their divisions. In fact, the Avalanche are on a 5-game win streak, which is just so cool. March Madness is right around the corner. The place to watch these games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't want to miss any of the action. Wednesdays are Dine and Wing Day. Actually, the girls were over last night, and I had Hooters wings delivered right to the front door. Delicious, and you can try their new roasted wings. But Dine and Wing Day, it's $15.99 for all the wings that you can eat. If you don't want to cook, just drop by Hooters restaurants, pick up dinner, take it home, or like I said, you can have it delivered right to your front door. More information, go to my website, kimmunson.com. All of my sponsors are there. Highly recommend each one of them. And we'll go to break, and we're going to continue on with this conversation about this coerced vaccination bill. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. We are talking right now about a bill that just was presented down at the Colorado State Legislature. It's SB 20-163. It's school entry immunizations. And I think that, you know, I think generally people, as we look back into the past, and I want to look at vaccines as past, present, and future. In the past, I think, Steve, both you and I have known people that had polio. I remember as a kid, as a guy that was one of the officers at the bank in my hometown, he'd had polio. And so he had been damaged because of that and was not able to walk like he was able to before he had polio. And so eradicating that, you know, that was a good idea. Measles, chicken pox. I mean, I think I had the chicken pox. I think I might even, I can't remember for sure what I had, but those are childhood diseases, and, you know, and vaccines, having the choice to be able to you know, have a vaccine on that. I think that's a great idea. So what is a problem though, is we're not having a totally honest debate about vaccinations. What's in them? If there's any adverse reactions to those, I think that we need to be honest about that and just be able to talk about the whole thing. Instead, we're getting, you know, half truths, not the whole story, because there is such a push for vaccinations. And so last year when the vaccination bill was presented, I read the bill and it took me a few weeks to kind of get my brain around it. As I read it, I started to realize that there was real danger. So we're going to put the past behind us, which I think most people, they say, oh, that was a pretty good idea. We come to present. And in present, what we now have is other vaccinations that are on the table for, you know, being put forth for kids. And one of those is the HPV vaccine. And that is it's a virus that is sexually transmitted. And we're seeing this push to vaccinate kids. And in fact, in New York, there is legislation that says all seventh graders have to be vaccinated with this before they can go into seventh grade. And there is, my understanding, there is some very potential bad effects from the HPV virus or the HPV vaccine. And so it seems to me that something that is sexually transmitted, you know, it's not going to be just person to person, you know, by being on an airplane, that maybe that's not something that should be forced upon our kids. Okay, Steve, help me out here. What are you thinking? Because I feel in some ways I kind of need to convince you on this.
Well, not really. Well, we had this discussion earlier this week, and I think maybe it was I who made that distinction. There's the five-year-old about to enter kindergarten MMR type of situation, measles, mumps, rubella, versus this seventh grader HPV situation. That's apples and oranges.
It is. And so we're kind of using the past then to push forward the oranges here. Okay. And so let's again put the MMR, let's just put that off to the side. Okay. Let's talk about right now this HPV particular vaccine. I'm trying to get some information on it. I need to make sure that I know what I'm talking about on it. I thought I'd seen, you know what, we'll have to confirm this. But my understanding is there's been some Girl Scouts troops that have been vaccinating their girls unbeknownst to their parents. And I actually met with a medical provider yesterday, and she did say that there can be adverse effects to MMR as well. And so we need to have a conversation about that. But again, I need to be disciplined and put that over to the side. So how would you feel? How do you feel as a parent if you sent your child off to school or off to Girl Scouts or whatever and come to find out later on that they had vaccinated your child against a sexually transmitted disease without your permission? How would you feel about that, Steve?
Well, that's I don't know. I'm kind of, again, I keep coming up with this word, flummoxed. That's despicable. I mean, I can't believe that somebody would take that responsibility on themselves and in lieu of a parent.
And that is what the movement is here. Now, again, I need to read the whole bill. But in Patty's summary, what she put here, she said the bill requires, as applicable, a practitioner who is a licensed physician, a PA, advanced practice nurse, or person authorized pursuant to Title 12 to administer immunizations within the scope of their practice to students and to submit all that data to the tracking system. Say anything here about parents' rights on that. So we're looking right now. So I'm using the HPV vaccine as an example. What vaccines might be down the road that we might want to have a conversation about whether or not that is injected into our bodies? We're now looking into the future, and you're going to have an unelected commission board determine maybe there's some other vaccinations out there that they say you have to have, and you cannot even have a conversation about opting out. You know, there is such a movement on eating healthy. I think there's two other things. There's what we put into our brains, and also what we might be forced to inject into our bodies. So this whole vaccination thing, we need to look at past, present, and future. And I see big danger in the future. So we're going to continue our conversation on this as we continue to look at this bill, because I see big, big danger. And if you don't do what the government says, you're going to be put into a tracking system. And who's to say several years down the road, you get a knock on your door? And my understanding also is that it might say a parent might have to sign something, or you have this re-education video that you're going to have to watch. And it says, I realize that I am putting my child at risk, quote unquote, air quotes, if I do not do X. Then who's to say 5 years, 10 years down the road, if Colorado continues their takeover of our children, that you wouldn't get a knock on the door and say, hey, you just signed this. You said that you were putting your child at risk because you didn't do this HPV vaccine. You know, we're going to take over. I know that that seems a little tin hat, but you know what? If you look at this legislation that's coming down the pike, I could see that happening, Steve.
Well, what's the greatest little word picture there? A frog pitched into boiling water will immediately leap out, but if you turn the water temperature up very slowly, they will stay in the water until they're dead.
Okay. So with that, I'm starting to formulate a strategy in my mind on what we can do as everyday people about this. And if you are interested in that strategy and helping out to start to push back on what's happening down at the state capitol, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. One other thing before we talk to Jason McBride over at Presidential Wealth Management, there's an article in CPR.org, and it says RTD is reimagining itself, and the staff warns that there will be winners and there will be losers. It says RTD's bus service, which accounts for the majority of transit trips in Metro Denver, could look very different a year from now. Where buses go and how often is a key part of the agency's two-year-long attempt to reimagine RTD, which is meant to reposition the agency in anticipation of population growth and changing technologies. They mean to assess the Denver area's mobility needs over the next 30 years and define RTD's long-term strategies. More immediately, RTD will develop a system optimization plan that is scheduled to go into effect in 2021. All of RTD services will be up for changes, but because buses comprise the majority of RTD services and bus routes and are so flexible, changes there are likely to be the most consequential. Board member Judy LaBau, who represents the Longmont area, said she thinks more service cuts are coming beyond those already proposed for this May because of the ongoing driver shortage. She says it's fair to say that we are going to be putting together a system optimization plan that is constrained by our available financial resources, replied Bruce Abel, RTD's Special Projects Director. The real question is how do we allocate our finite resources? Remember when we said government got involved in something, that the supply becomes limited? So our finite resources to provide the best service.
And yet, just last night I watched a quick story here, and tell me what do you call the top guy at RTD? Administrator?
Executive director,
okay,
I think.
Executive director. The existing guy, Dave Genova, his salary was $295,000. His replacement, the new guy, Paul Ballard, will be $350,000. So tell me about your finite resources.
Exactly. Good point.
Mr. McBride would certainly have something to say on that.
Well, I think so. And what he's trying to make sure is that the resources that you have are going to work for you so that you can have your own personal economic prosperity. Jason McBride, I'm kind of on a roll this morning. How are you doing today?
Oh, I like it. I like it when you get on a roll.
I tell you what, I'm a little concerned about what's going down at the State House. And I actually, my heart was a little heavy about it, Jason. There's just a lot going on. And, I feel a real responsibility on what we pass on to the next generation. I know you do, too. And what do we do about this? And, of course, one of the things we do is help people understand what is happening. And as you know, I mean, you're an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. I buy my airtime, and one of the ways that we're on the air is because of my valued partners, and that's because of you, Jason McBride, and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, so I really appreciate that.
Well, we sure do appreciate you too, Kim, so the feeling is mutual.
And, I think it's really important that people, there's a lot going on out there, but there are things that you can sit down and plan for, and so really recommend sitting down and talking with you all. Tell me what's going on in the market. I really didn't get a chance to look at it yesterday. So what happened?
Well, yesterday was another very good day with the markets up nicely. Looks like this morning we're going to get clipped a little bit, at least on the open. They couldn't think of anything else to blame the weakness in the futures on, so they're saying it's concerns about the coronavirus. But if you ask me anymore, with the Dow up at getting close to 30,000, let's be realistic. I mean, if it's down 100 or even 200 points or up 100 or 200, it's not really that big of a deal. I know it seems kind of breathtaking and when we're moving 200, 300, 400 points, but really, when you think about it from a percentage standpoint, it's not much different than back when the Dow was at 11, 12,000 and we'd be up 50 or 60 points mm-hmm. for the day.
But, the pundits out there, it seems like they kind of use percentages when it works to their advantage, and then they use just numbers when it works to their advantage for headlines and all. And so I think it's good to kind of get your perspective on that, Jason, so that people kind of, aren't as concerned about everything.
Well, that's true, Kim, and I do get a lot of comments from clients and other folks. Boy, the market sure is volatile. It makes me nervous when it moves this many points back and forth. And you can explain that the percentages are the same, but I think it's our reptile, the part of our brain that's the reptile brain just sees that big number that's way bigger than we're used to seeing, and it still kind of causes a little bit of consternation because it seems like things are really, quote, going crazy when they're really not necessarily. I don't think the market's any more volatile, really, than it's ever been, except maybe very short term in the middle of the day. You know, right. Intraday swings are quicker, sometimes more violent than we used to see because there's a lot more basket trading, computer trading, that type of thing. But really, it doesn't swing back and forth any more bigly than it ever has.
Well, and so I think it's so good to have your perspective on that. So I appreciate your calling in, the presentation, or the work that you put into the call every day. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Jason McBride. And go to airpresidential.com, and that'll get you over to our landing page, your podcast, all kinds of great information. Jason, thanks so much, and have a great day.
All right, Kim, have a great show.
Thanks so much. Before we go to break, I did get a text message from Susan, and she said a couple of things. The government should not be allowed to collect any data. As soon as it does, it attempts to control and manipulate people. She said the government was wrong about eggs, butter, and many other things. They do not know better. And really, RTD thinks that they can figure out the service demands over the next 30 years. It's not possible. And actually, if you ask Greta Thunberg, we're not going to be around for 30 years. So it's not going to matter. And on that note, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Derek Wilburn.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Before we get to Derek Wilburn, you had a quick note that you wanted to make regarding the RTD comments we were talking about, Steve.
Well, you're going to get me going here, and Derek, at his expense. Actually, I could talk about RTD all day because the more I learn about them, the more fascinated, and I don't mean in a good way, I get with them. But and this whole thing, reimagine RTD, sounds like some kind of kumbaya moment.
Sounds more like a re-education process. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, let me dial down to the one statistic that, you know, Patty put in here. It really fascinated me because the board is going to be asked to look at data from six of their peer transportation districts around the country. And where is it now? Oh, among the highlighted differences, RTD's service area is 2,342 square miles, and it is by far the largest of the regions that they're studying. Mm-hmm. But the lowest density is the lowest density at 1,247 people per square mile. And as soon as I read that, I thought, I wonder if maybe this is one of the contributing causes to their never-ending mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that they're going to be doing that comparison with these higher density, more dense areas. And so let's stay tuned on that. Let's get to Derek Wilburn. He is he's a friend. He is the founder of the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, and he's a real patriot, I would say. Derek Wilburn, welcome to the show.
Happy morning, Kim.
Well, and it's a good day to be alive, so you're happy there. Derek, tell us a bit about you, how you came up with creating Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives.
Accidental political activist. Just decided one day that I wanted to make a difference, and I was, this was 2010, so we are 2 years into the Barack Obama presidency. Didn't like what I saw. Most of us conservatives didn't like those first 2 years. We didn't like any of the eight, but especially the first two, when they had rock solid control of both houses of Congress. They're passing legislation in the middle of the night. It's just turned into a mess. And I decided, sitting here getting mad at the TV isn't making a difference. I want to make a difference. So I invited a Republican legislator to come to my house and meet with me and a handful of my black friends. And that went really well. So I did it again, and again and again and again. And 9 years later, here I am.
Well, and you've also created something for young people. It's the POC intern program. Do I have the name correct on that, Derek Wilburn?
POCC or POC Capital Interns.
Okay. So tell us about that, because I find it fascinating. You know, the next generation, they're our future. And so you're doing something pretty cool with that. So explain it.
Listeners can go to POCCinterns.com, POCCinterns.com.
Okay.
We are recruiting as we speak for our fourth internship class. So every summer, each of the last three summers, the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives has sent a batch of black college students from campuses all across the country. We've had them from the University of California system. We've had them from SUNY in New York, and all points in between. And we send them to Washington, D.C. to intern specifically in Republican legislative offices. So it removes the filter. There's no filter of a corrupt educational or media establishment to influence these young people's minds about who conservatives are and what we believe. They work side by side, elbow by to elbow with conservative Republicans, and they get their eyes opened. And they see the truth about conservatism, about who conservatives are, about what conservatism stands for, and everything is paid for. We pay their airfare to and from. We pay their summer housing experience, and the internship itself is paid. So the first year was 2017. We sent 9, and then in 2018, we'd more than doubled that to 19. Last summer, we had 22.
Wow.
And this June, 50 college students from across this country are going to show up in Washington, D.C. and go to work.
Well, Derek Wilburn, we are seeing, I think, a paradigm shift. I'm seeing black conservatives that I guess I didn't really know. They're stepping up to run for office. Certainly Candace Owens has become the face of many black youth out there. And there seems to be this paradigm shift. So 50. So you probably need some help on funding this. And I like the fact that you are paying them, that they're paid internships as well. I think that's really important. So
it's critical.
Yeah. So tell us, how are you doing this? Because it costs money.
The same way I've been doing it since the day I started this deal. I get down on my hands and knees and beg for checks. That's pretty much how it happens. It's all donor funded. 100%. We get no money from the RNC. We get no money from any formal portions of the Republican Party at all. It's all people like Kim Monson who chip in $50 here, $20 there. And this year our budget's going to blow up to about $250,000. We do have some larger foundational type donors that write slightly bigger checks, but it's 100% grassroots. It's just people that realize this needs to get done. It isn't free. I'll do my part and chip in. We've got partners Kim, we've got dozens of people from all around the country who partner with us $5 a month, $10 a month, dozens and dozens of people. And you know what? That starts to add up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough, but you know, sometimes you just have to leap and trust that the net's going to appear. That's kind of what I do, and the net always does.
Well, I can't believe the growth that you've had to send 50 students back. You know, Derek, I have to tell you that probably I've wondered, how did I end up on the air? How did it end up that I'm doing what I'm doing? And I would say that it is because of a love of the American idea that every man, and when we say man, we mean every human being is created equal. And endowed by our creator with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And when I was in high school, I lived in rural Kansas. The Farm Bureau there, they had something that they would send a boy and a girl from each county to a citizenship camp. And actually, one of my colleagues there was Steve Ducey, who is now on Fox and Friends in the morning. And it was a citizenship camp. It was a week. And we went through the whole idea of the American idea, the Declaration, the Constitution, why it was put into place. And I think that that was some seeds that were really sown with me that now, all these years later, it given me a foundation to be able to talk about these important ideals. And so what you are doing with these young students, we don't even know what's going to happen. I mean, the seeds you are sowing with these young kids, this is pretty amazing, Derek Wilburn.
You're making a very important point. So what happens to us during our formative years, our teens, certainly into our early 20s, those things get burned in. The experience you had, you can never unsee that. You can never unremember that. That's now a permanent part of your record. And for these young people, these 19 and 20-year-olds we send to Washington, D.C., you know, my parents' generation, what they can never unsee, what they can never unremember is signs above bathroom doors colored in white, signs above water fountains colored in white. You don't get your food here at the front counter, boy. You go around back and we'll hand it out the window to you. They can never unremember that. This experience, working with Republicans hand in hand and realizing that they're just like me, they may believe in some different things, but they're not evil. These young people can never unremember this, and one day these 19-year-olds will be 59-year-olds. And we've begun to change the country one at a time, which is the only way that we can do it.
Well, that's totally true. And it's so, so important. And I think people wonder, what can I do? You know, something like you just mentioned, for the price of a cup of coffee or going to Starbucks, I actually don't like to spend $4 or $5 on a cup of coffee, but let's say you do. For the price of that, one day, you know what? You could actually really help. Derek here with the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, and this is the POC Capital Intern Program. And that is, again, give me that website.
POC C Interns.
Okay.
So POC, which is People of Color, Capital Interns. So the website is POCCInterns.com.
Okay. So, you know what, Derek, let's go to break. I have a couple of other things that I'd like to chat with you about regarding just kind of this paradigm shift and what you're seeing. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Derek Wilburn. He is the founder of Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives and the POC Capital Interns Program, which is growing exponentially. We'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, kimmunson.com. And if you want to email me, it's kim@kimmunson.com. Derek Wilburn, the work that you are doing is so important. And I agree with you. It's one person at a time engaging in the battle of ideas. And when you really engage in the battle of ideas and plant those seeds of the American idea, you know, what we don't know what will happen all these years down the road, but we will know that we are raising up young men and women that realize that this idea of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is something that's worth fighting for. And I know that that's why you do what you're doing. That's why I do what I'm doing. So thank you.
It's my pleasure. I'll tell you what, Kim, I'm going to quickly read for you something and your listeners. So every year we have one or two or three interns that apply for a second time. They say, hey, I had a great experience. I want to apply again. Krishani Watson, a young lady from Florida A&M University, which is the oldest HBCU in the state of Florida and has been a very productive school for us. I go there personally every fall and conduct recruiting activities. I crisscross the country. I go to college campuses all over the place. And all that has to get paid for too. But Krishani submitted her application a couple of weeks ago to again be included this year. And this is what she wrote. I'm reading this right off of her application, which all the interns have to submit one. Quote, I've been raised by a family that strongly supports the Democrat Party. I also attend an HBCU where the majority of my colleagues are strongly liberal. I've for years been going with the flow and fell into group thinking. It wasn't until my internship with POC last summer that I learned I'm far more conservative than I ever could have imagined. I strongly believe that lower taxes, less government, and more individual freedom is the best road for America, and I'm tired of being held victim due to my emotions. I've done tons and tons of research since my internship last summer and have learned to put facts over feelings. I believe I strongly align with the Republican Party, end quote.
That's astonishing. And, Derek, one thing I want to mention is the word conservative has been branded as something, you know, all these different definitions. But the word conservative, to conserve, and in this case, to conserve these ideas that she so eloquently put into her application, that is what conservatism is less government, more individual freedom, being able to, you know, be in charge of your life. And I think when kids realize that, I think people like that idea, Derek Wilburn.
Exactly. And I refuse to, people tell you or will say, we've got to stop using that word. They stigmatize it. It's associated with racism. It's associated with homophobia, all this other stuff. Well, if we stop using the word conservative, whatever word we start using, they're just going to do the same thing to that word too. So, you know, whatever. I like being a conservative. I'm proudly a conservative. I tell our interns right up front, look, I'm a conservative. I'm a right winger. I'm whatever you want to label me. But you can't go by that. You have to go by facts. You have to go by not emotion, but the truth. And the truth is that we, Black Americans, have been voting for the exact same people for 60 years, and we haven't seen the sorts of positive change in the last 60 years as we've seen in the last three.
It is astonishing. It is astonishing. I've got a question that we had that I wanted to ask you. You know, I walked with you at the Martin Luther King parade this last year, and it was a little interesting that we had some of these young Antifa kids that were kind of, I don't know, trying to create some trouble or whatever, and you engaged a little bit in a very positive manner. Would you want to address that at all? Because I thought it was very fascinating. I did also like the fact that the Denver police were kind of keeping an eye on him because it looked to me like they were trying to create some trouble. Would you like to comment on that at all, Derek Wilburn?
I absolutely would like to comment on that. So attempting to engage with them intellectually is a complete and total waste of time. I'll go toe-to-toe with anyone verbally and talk about ideas because my ideas are right. So they really couldn't go down that road. As soon as you start questioning them about why they're there, what they believe, what are you even trying to accomplish? So you show up with a bandana over your face and sunglasses and a knit hat. So you're concealing your identity. What do you want? I mean, what do you ultimately hope is the outcome of your being here? They can't even answer that question. They just don't know. But in terms of them raising trouble, yeah, you know, they're real big and real bold when they outnumber whoever it is they're harassing 10-1. So we've seen all those videos on the internet. When there's 10 or 14 or 20 of them surrounding one person, they're real brave. But they didn't have those kind of numbers at MLK. So there was whatever, I didn't count, you and I were there. There was probably 6 or 8 or 10 of them, but there was 40 or 50 of us. So all of a sudden they had nothing to say. They had nothing to say. So they just kind of walk along and did their stupid little harassing thing, but no trouble from a legal or a physical point of view came up because when they're the ones who are outnumbered, all of a sudden they get real quiet. So I thought the whole thing was really just a little more than passively entertaining, but they're cowards, and they know they're cowards, and they weren't going to do anything that was stupid, whether the police were there or not, because we had them outnumbered 4-1.
Well, it was interesting. There was a young woman with the group that was kind of trying to walk right along beside me and stare me down, if you will. And so I thought, okay, I'll engage in that. And so I just stared back at her, and finally she looked away. But the other thing that was interesting, and two things I thought, is they were Bernie supporters. And somebody said, well, how do I know that they were Bernie supporters? And it's like, well, they had Bernie water bottles and they had Bernie signs. And so I was pretty sure that they were Bernie supporters. And that's a little bit concerning as well, because Bernie ultimately, jovial Bernie, ultimately believes in force. And force doesn't work out very well for everyday people, no matter what color you are, no matter, you know, what descriptor you are. Force typically doesn't work out for everyday people. It does not work out very well.
Yeah, now you just made the first faux pas I think I've ever heard you make on the air when you said jovial Bernie. That cat is anything but jovial. I mean, that guy is just constantly a rainy day. I don't think I've ever seen him smile. Everything is, this sucks, this is horrible. America is terrible. America is racist. The president is racist. Our system is rigged. I mean, the guy is just a constant rainy day. And he has people, as Project Veritas has uncovered, he has these radicals working on his paid staff.
Yes.
So he has people who have been secretly videotaped saying, if he doesn't win, we're going to burn cities.
Yeah.
We're going to bring the rough stuff if that's what it takes. So he is clearly a believer in revolution through bloodshed if necessary, and he attracts those kind of people. And remarkably, he could win.
Yeah, it is a stat. And to that point, I think that the whole education system and media and all that over all these years have been, you know, kind of brainwashing, I think, a lot of our kids, and we didn't really realize what was happening. All of a sudden, it's like they have created a monster over on the Democrat side with all their radical activism, and they're not quite sure how they're going to be able to put this back in the box, I don't think.
When you fall in a hole, stop digging. So they have really put themselves into an extremely difficult position. So the Democrat Party has lost its appeal to middle America, first of all. I mean, when you look at the pinnacle, when you look at the leadership of the Democrat Party, particularly amongst the elected officials, what you now have is a party of coastal elites. So you've got people who are extraordinarily wealthy and who are from states that border one ocean or the other, and almost nobody in the middle. And you hear people like Michael Bloomberg, who comes right out and says that people in middle America simply aren't intelligent enough to understand trans rights. You have people like Barack Obama, who says people in middle America are clinging to their guns, Bibles, bitterness, and antipathy toward others. They've become a party of coastal elites, and you can't win elections that way. And even if that weren't the case, you don't attract people to your cause by being so radical. That works in San Francisco, that works in Seattle, that works in Portland and New York City and a few other places, but it doesn't play in Peoria. And you can't win national elections by just winning California and New York. So their party is in a lot of trouble. Bernie was an extremist 3 years ago, 4 years ago. They needed to get rid of him because he was so far to the left, they felt he was poisoning the water. Now, if you look at their candidates and their prominent figures, they're all Bernie light. What Bernie believes, they believe. They're becoming a party of openly communists, and it's not going to work for them, and they certainly don't have enough guns to take us out the old-fashioned way like they think they do. Now with these knucklehead 22-year-olds, soy yogurt-eating Prius driving, I mean, they don't even know. They don't even know what an AR is, let alone own one.
Well, on that note, you saw that in Virginia, they're passing legislation, regarding everyday people's rights to carry their weapons and protect themselves. So what they're trying to do is to disarm our society and then push for these policies. So, Derek, we're about out of time.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. But I had quoted Booker T. Washington at the beginning of the show, and I always like to end with a quote, and normally at the very end, but since you're on the line, it kind of reminded me of what you're doing. And Booker T. Washington said, "No greater injury can be done to any youth than to let him feel that because he belongs to this or that race, he will be advanced in life regardless of his own merits or efforts." I thought that was pretty amazing. Derek, do you have a quick comment about that?
Huge. So, yeah, when we get to the point where your ability to succeed or fail is tied to your ethnic identity, we're in a lot of trouble. And Bernie and these people are promoting victimhood. And I'll put a plug in real quick, Kim. Next month, March 22nd, I'm going to keynote the Arapahoe County Lincoln Day Dinner, March 22nd. I hope listeners get tickets and come, because I'm going to throw that down right there in excruciating detail, because we've got to get Jason Crow out of there. He's extremely vulnerable. We're going to have a candidate that can do it. And they've invited me to keynote and deliver a message. And what you just talked about, I'm going to hammer that hard for 30 minutes, and people are going to love it. March 22nd, I think it's at the Radisson in Aurora.
Okay, and I bet you can get more information if you go to Arapahoe County GOP. And on that note, it's not just whether or not it's your race. It's all these other descriptors as well. We need to get back to people working hard and doing their best. And you know what? Then all that other stuff, I think, flies out the window. So Derek Wilburn, Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, POCC, intern.com. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciated.
Always a pleasure, Kimmy. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds great. And again, no greater injury can be done to any youth than to let him feel that because he belongs to this or that race or this or that descriptor, I'm going to add that in, he will be advanced in life regardless of his own merits or efforts. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. To this great unknown.